just have one very simple verse to read. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, and this will be the text for today. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And the word of God says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Amen. We'll just commit this time to the Lord. God in heaven, we do ask as we come now to the preaching of the precious word of God, we do pray for help from heaven. God, open our ears, open our hearts to receive thy word. Lord, help preacher and hearer alike this day. God, may we be fed, Lord, and satisfied today in thy word. We do pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want to deal this morning with the subject of walking in Christ. Walking in Christ. We read this verse again. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." The center of this verse is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we are urged in this verse not only to receive Christ, but also to walk in him. And now the Lord Jesus Christ not only is the center of this verse, but he is the center of salvation. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who died upon the cross. He is the one who rose again from the dead. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ is the entire theme of the Scriptures. When we read through the Bible, we will find the common theme of Christ. And in fact, when we think of Christianity itself, Christianity has no existence outside of the person of Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. And there is no salvation outside of Christ. And this is what the apostles preached in Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." There again we are taught that if we are to receive Christ, we are to receive him and him alone. And it is him that we must come to for salvation. Now in these verses here in Colossians, the Apostle Paul sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ in a number of ways. Firstly, we see that Christ has wisdom and knowledge. Look with me in verse 3, and we read there, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Here Christ is shown to be the one to whom the source of all wisdom and knowledge is. And if we are to seek one who has ultimate wisdom and ultimate knowledge, we find the source to be Christ. Now this is in contrast to the beguiling of the world. Because you look in verse 4 and it says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." And so there we have a great contrast between Christ and the world, because we see that the world's object is to deceive and to beguile the people of God, to deceive and beguile people into thinking that there is wisdom and knowledge in any other source but Christ. And yet here we see that Christ is the one who has wisdom and knowledge. But then notice again, Christ has authority and power. Look in verse 10, and it says, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." There we have for us that Christ himself is the one who has the ultimate authority in this world and who has the greatest power. And this again is contrasted to the judgment of men. Because you look in verse 16 and of the chapter and we read, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, and so on. And so we see here, again we look into this world, and we see nothing but men and their judgment, men and their opinions. And they will give their opinion on how we live our lives, on how you live your life. And so the question for us today, as we think of that, is, well, who is the ultimate authority? Here we are being shown that Christ is the one who has the ultimate authority. We think of the judgment, and it is Christ who will judge. It will not be the men of this world. And so for you today, when you think of that, it's not important for you to listen to what men have to say. It is important for you to know and listen to what Christ has to say, because he is the one who has the authority and the power. Then again, Christ is set forth as God in human flesh. We see this in verse 9. For in him dwelleth all fullness, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here we are drawn to the tremendous truth of the deity of Christ. That is that he was both God and man. God in human flesh. And this is contrasted to the tradition and the deceit of the world. Look in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There again we see the object of the world is to deceive, to lead astray, and to be teaching their own traditions. And the summary of the world today is in that last, in verse 8 at the end, it says, not after Christ. That is what the world is about today. They're not after Christ. And yet here we are shown that Christ is unique. He is God in human flesh. And therefore to seek any other is utter foolishness. Because when we look at Christ, we see one who's not only human, but he is also God. And then it finishes in verse 9, and it says, verse 10, ye are complete in him. And that word complete there, it means perfect. It means furnished. It means to be completely finished. The idea there is of a house. And think of this with me. If you'd been on a long journey, and you'd booked in, for instance, a motel somewhere. And when you finally got there, you'd had a long day, you perhaps tired, and you opened the door thinking, well, there's going to be a nice bed and a shower and maybe some hot food and be able to relax after this day. And well, you opened the door and the house was completely bare. There was no furniture, there was no bed, there was nothing. And that is the contrast here, that would be what it's like to be not in Christ. But the idea of here is to be complete in Christ is like a house that's fully furnished, a house that has everything needed to enjoy your time. And so there we have for us an illustration of what you are like if you're outside of Christ. You are like a house that has no furniture, and what good is that? What benefit is that? You see, to be complete in Christ as well means to rest in Christ, to see him as the one you need above all else, and to trust in him, to rest in him, and to focus upon him as your fixed position. And again, we're drawn to the illustration of a person who maybe is walking through the desert. He has no landmarks except for one tree in the distance. And he uses that for his direction. And so again, it is for us today that we must realize that in this journey of life, there is only one fixed position. There is only one that we should be focusing upon, and that is Christ. And if we're not, we will lose our way. If we are not, we will end up lost. If we are not, we will wander in the wilderness. And we'll never find life. We'll never find soul satisfaction. We'll never find completeness because we're not trusting in Christ. And so I hope today you can see from these things that Christ is the one you must trust in. He is unique. He is the Saviour. We've seen these things about him. But then I want you to notice, secondly, that in light of what Christ is, we should receive him and walk in him. Because salvation is essentially receiving Christ. Salvation is essentially receiving Christ. Now you might be asking today, what does it mean to receive Christ Jesus the Lord? I want to run through a few things with you so that you can understand this. Firstly, to receive Christ is to trust Christ, to put your faith in him. I want you to look with me in these verses. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. We read here, verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." There we are being shown that to be a child of God, it must be a position that is reached by faith in Christ alone. And therefore, we cannot be Christian, we cannot be saved unless we put our trust, unless we put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. But then as well, to receive Christ is to obey Christ. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. We read there, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." And so there we are being shown that Christ is the author of eternal salvation, but it is to those who obey him. And therefore, if you claim to be a Christian and you have not obeyed Christ, or you are living today in disobedience to Christ, well, that shows you may well not be a Christian, because to receive Christ is to obey him. That is what it means to be a Christian. But then again, to receive Christ is to surrender your life to him. He is Lord of your life. Look at Philippians 2 and verse 11. Philippians 2 and verse 11. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so the Christian is not his own. As it says in Corinthians, he's bought with a price, and the Christian's life belongs to the Lord, and the Lord is the Lord of the Christian. The Christian is the servant of Christ, and therefore our lives, if we are Christians, should be lived in subjection to Christ. In subjection to Christ. Then again, to receive Christ means to love Christ. To love Christ. Look at Mark 12 and verse 30. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. We read there, Mark 12. And verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." So to receive Christ is to love him with all your heart. And therefore, to be a Christian is to love
Christ unreservedly, unconditionally. And can it be said of you today that you love Christ with all your heart? Friend, if you've never loved Christ with all your heart, you've never received him. To receive him is to love him with all your heart. And then finally, to receive Christ is to confess your sin to Christ and repent of your sin. We see this in Acts 20 and verse 21. Acts 20 and verse 21. The apostles are preaching here. Acts 20 and verse 21. Paul says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. To receive Christ is to confess to him your need of Christ, but also to acknowledge to God that you have sinned. And therefore, if you have never acknowledged your sin to God, if you've never confessed your sin to God, if you've never said to Christ, I have sinned, then you haven't received Christ. We are to repent, to acknowledge to God, yes, we've sinned. And so we have. Now these things are the very basics. And every one of us who are saved and have received Christ have done these things. And examine yourself today, because if you cannot say that you have done these things, and it may be said of you that you've never received Christ, because this is what it means to be a Christian. To trust Christ, to obey Christ, to surrender your life to Christ, to love him, to confess your sin to him. These things are needful. But then thirdly, these elements should not end at conversion. Because my text says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We've seen how we are to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. But the verse says that in the same manner that you've received Christ, so you should walk in him. And so when we are converted, that doesn't mean that we no longer need Christ. It doesn't mean that we no longer trust in him or obey him or love him, and so on. But conversion is the beginning of a life of total dependence upon Christ. And you think back to your conversion. If you're a Christian here today, you think back to that time, maybe that day when you were converted. And when you trusted in Christ, you realized that you couldn't save yourself. But you needed Christ and no one else. And you realize that to be saved, you needed Christ. But let me ask you, is that still your attitude today when it comes to living the Christian life? Because just as much as you needed Christ when you were converted, so you need him today. You see, it's foolish to think that you can be saved wholly and solely upon Christ and then think, well, now I'm converted, I don't need Christ as much, and try to live the Christian life in your own strength. And this is a mistake that many Christians make, because they're converted and they think, and at that stage early on, they could do anything for God. You would ask them to come out on the streets and witness, and they would do it. And they would be at the meetings and they're on fire for God. But as time goes on, they stop relying upon Christ and, well, things just slowly wind down. And they begin to try and live the Christian life in their own strength. And they stop relying upon Christ. And that is a mistake. You see, we need Christ today just as much as when we were saved. And let me urge you to understand this today, that you cannot live the Christian life without Christ. Just the same as you cannot be saved without Christ. It's as simple as that. And so if you are trying to live your life today by your own strength, you're failing. You see, salvation is the very beginning of a life of walking with the Lord. It's just the beginning. It's not the end. It's not once I've believed in Christ, well, I've done that. Don't need to do it anymore. You hear that saying in the world today, I've been there, I've done that. Doesn't apply to this. Because are you trusting in Christ today? That's the question. And perhaps you're here today and you have been through times of trouble and times of difficulty, and your relationship with the Lord is low. Perhaps you've completely lost it. But let me say to you today, the most important thing for you is, are you trusting in Him today? It matters not what's gone in the past. Perhaps you failed the Lord. But would you trust in Him today? So what did the Lord say to the disciples when He called them in Luke 9 and verse 23? He said, follow Me. Follow Me. Well, yes, those disciples had to make a decision to follow. But that didn't just mean in that second. Because the disciples followed their entire life. And when Christ called them to follow, that command continued on for their entire life. And so, if you have heard that call to follow, are you following? You see, Jesus said, follow Me. Take up your cross daily, deny yourself and follow Me. And so, there we have again, to live as a Christian, to walk with Christ, means a daily denial of self, a daily realization of your need of Christ, and a looking and a following of Christ day by day. And so, it is not a bad thing to realize your need. It's not a bad thing to realize your insufficiency, your worthlessness. But does it make you turn to Christ? Does it make you flee to Christ? Does it make you realize that you need Him today just as much as you needed Him yesterday? That should be the response of our heart. My dear friends, today, we should be going on with the Lord. You see, look at with me in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And this, if anything, is my prayer for each one of you here today. It says, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And let me ask you that today. If you are a Christian, do you know Him more today than you did when you were converted? Because we see in this verse that we are to grow in knowledge of Christ. And the experiences that we have in this world, the trials that we face, the difficulties that we encounter, as we pass through them with Christ on our side, we learn more of Christ. We learn more of His love for us. We learn more of His relationship with us. We grow with Him. And so we should be able to say, oh yes, I've been through difficulties, but the Lord was with me every step of the way. And I can say today that my relationship with Christ is stronger. That should be the case. You see, the Christian life is described in this verse as a walk. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There are these illustrations in Scripture of walking, of growing. These are for a reason. The Scriptures urge us to walk by the Spirit, to walk by faith, not by sight. These are words that mean that walking implies movement. It implies direction. It implies progress. And so can it be said of us that we're making progress in the Christian life? And I'm not trying to put you down a guilt trip right now. But I do urge you to look to your life right now and think. You see, look there in Colossians 2 and verse 7, and we see it again. He's speaking of walking in Christ, and he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. And there again, we're drawn to another illustration, that of a plant that grows. It has root. And a plant that doesn't have a root will not grow. But a plant that has a root will grow. It's obvious. We see it everywhere. And here we've been shown that the root is Christ. And therefore, our spiritual life cannot exist outside of Christ. We cannot walk the Christian life outside of Christ. But a plant should grow if it has a root. And are you growing? And perhaps today, if you are not growing, it's because your root isn't Christ. You see, this is very clear. We're to receive Christ, but we're also to walk in him. And you might ask yourself today, how can I do that? You might be aware of this, but you say to yourself, I can't do this. Well, that's good, because you can't by yourself. And the sooner you realize that, the better. You see, dear friend, you can with Christ. You see, look with me in Philippians 1 and verse 6, and here's the answer for you today. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And if you are a Christian today, God has done a work in your life. You're on that path to destruction, and yet today you're on the path of life. It's nothing to do with yourself. It's a work of God. And therefore, we've been told here, if God begins a work in your life, he'll not leave you. He'll not leave you. And so as you are walking your Christian life and all, yes, you are faced with these things, know this, that the Lord says to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am there with you, walking beside you by the way. And so when you're in those times of trial and difficulty, know this, look to Christ. He's the one you need, and he's there for you. And you can't live the Christian life without him. And don't try. Please don't try. Walk with him. And the Lord wants us to grow. We see this in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. It speaks of abounding more and more. A person developing and growing. And it says in verse 4 that the will of God for us is our sanctification. And that is what the Lord wants us to be doing. Growing in grace. A work within our hearts, being sanctified, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we becoming more like Christ? Oh, yes, we need him. In conclusion, I want to again emphasize this point, but just draw your attention to our Bible reading, Philippians 3. Because we have here an example of what I've been saying. In a man, the Apostle Paul. If you look with me in Philippians 3, verse 10 to verse 14. The Apostle Paul speaks here of knowing Christ more and more. He says in verse 10 that I may know him. And he goes on and speaks of the relationship with Christ. And then he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here's the apostle describing the Christian life as a walk that takes courage, it takes striving, it takes energy, it takes effort, but there is a prize to be attained. And so for us, when we think, what is that mark? That mark is Christ himself. We are striving, we should be striving to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul was a godly man. He was a man who did mighty wonders for God. He was a man who was an incredible saint of God. And yet here this man is saying, who had a relationship with Christ that was so deep that his desire, his urge, the motivating force in his life was to press toward the mark, to become more like Christ. Is that our desire today? Is that what we are striving to be? It brings us back to where I started. You see, pressing towards the mark is the same as pressing towards a fixed goal. It's the same as being complete in Christ, to trust in Christ. And so today, are we trusting in Christ? If you're unconverted today, let me ask you this. Why would you trust in yourself when you are so weak, so frail, and completely unable to save yourself? And yet the reality is in the world today is that millions are trusting in themselves. And Jesus spoke a parable to people of that mind, to people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Perhaps you're here today and you are trusting in your own goodness, your own righteousness. I'm fine, I'm going to get to heaven. I hope that you can see today that you can't get to heaven by yourself. That it is foolishness to believe that within you there's goodness to attain to God's holiness. That within you there is righteousness that will attain to the righteousness of Christ. Because let me tell you this, there is no righteousness like the righteousness of Christ. And yet God demands perfection. God demands perfect righteousness. And it's only found in Christ. And so I plead with you today to trust in the one who has that righteousness. Why would you trust in anything else? It's a foolish thing to trust in yourself when the Lord has provided salvation. Would you trust him? But then let me ask the Christians here today the very same question. Are you trusting in him? Because it applies to you too. Are you trusting in him today? Because, as I've said, a person who is trusting, who is relying upon Christ, who's living their life depending upon Christ, their root will grow. And so if you are trusting in Christ today, every day, there will be fruit coming from your life. There will be evidence of a person growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of Christ. Is there that evidence in your life today? And if there isn't, perhaps you are not trusting in Christ as you should. Or let me urge you today that Christ is worth trusting in. You can depend your whole life upon him, and you'll never be let down. And let me tell you this, the men of this world, the people of this world who trust in themselves, when they stand before God, they get a rude shock because they realize that what I trusted in my whole life was wrong. Was wrong. Oh, I believe certain things all my life. I've thought certain things. I finally got to where I stand before Christ and I realize it was all a lie. Just a lie. And that's what the world does to you. It lies to you. It deceives you. And my friend, if you get to that position and you trust it in yourself, you'll get a rude shock. But the wonderful thing for the Christian is the person who trusts in Christ. When they stand before God, they find that everything that the Lord said was true. There's no shocks for the believer. There's no regrets. There's no disappointments. There's no, oh, what Christ said wasn't true. But they will find great blessedness because the one they trusted in was indeed worthy to be trusted in. Oh, what a blessed position that is today, dear friends. Would you trust him? I leave it with you today. May we all put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.